extreme radio for extreme times. This is A View from Space with the Spaceman on Talk Radio AM 640.
Oh, God, they call the Spaceman. This is A View from Space. I'd like to welcome you in right now if you're driving around listening to AM 640. I welcome you in. Or if you're at work listening via the AM 640 app, picking up the show that way, I welcome you in too. Or if you're listening to the show on Shaw Direct on channel 865, I welcome you in. Or maybe you're checking me out on your 3 or 4G personal communication device via the Stream the World software, I welcome you in too. Or maybe you're listening to me right now on what some call the best seat in the house. Check out A View from Space. Sitting in front of your Mac or your PC at home. Logged on to 640toronto.com, picking up the live audio streaming there. I welcome you in, wherever you are in the world. I welcome you in. And it's all about the world. The world this week saw a major leap forward in the Illuminati's global agenda concerning their top three major disruptive forces. You know what the top three are, don't you? You might have to be reminded, but when you hear them, you'll go, oh, right. Number one, climate change. Number two, gay rights. And number three, terrorism. Those are the three. More on the quantum leap discerned ahead in mere minutes here on tonight's show. This week has been literally jam-packed with Illuminati-controlled events, reshaping public opinion, which is really all about brainwashing the masses. Where to start? Let me see. Just yesterday, Friday, tremendous leap forward occurred with the agenda involving the approaching global summer spectacle. That's known as the 31st Olympiad. Yesterday, Rio's interim president, Michel Temer, declared a financial emergency and requested the power to free up money to be used to run the country to pay for the Olympics. Money they don't really have because it's all borrowed money. They're in deep debt, like all countries, to pay for the Olympic Games shortfall. They're digging into the operation of the money used to run the country. They're going to allow federal funds to be used to help fulfill obligations for public services during the Olympics that start August 5, maybe. Or maybe they'll get going and be interrupted. More on that in a second. Brazilians have been told that the emergency measures are needed to avoid a total collapse in public security, public health, public education, transport, and the environmental management. Almost all of Rio's income comes from oil. It's an oil-based economy, a one-trick pony. And as you're more than aware, in the last couple of years, global oil prices have taken one major hit after another. This has all come together as a perfect storm, as the elites like to call them. When you hear perfect storm, you know what it means? It means it was all planned to go that way. The deck was stacked. The country of Brazil is in its worst recession since the 1930s. And all this now comes on top of a political crisis that last month even led to the suspension of their female president, Dilma Rousseff. All of this has resulted in Brazil's debt to be downgraded a bunch of times. And since late last year, Brazil's been forced to delay pensions, salary payments, and forced to close schools, hospitals, and they're putting on the Olympics. Yeah. And remember, all this comes after the Zika virus scare that's been plaguing them right at the time when Rio's expecting about 500,000 plus foreign visitors to attend the Olympics. Brazil's interim president, Michel Temer, said stoically that Brazil would ensure all obligations are met for a successful Olympics. Brazil's also facing an outbreak of scarerism, as you know, via the Zika virus, which has been linked, but not proven to be linked, to the birth defect microcephaly, in which babies are born with abnormally small heads. Now, also on the same day, yesterday, Friday, just 47 days to go before the start of that 31st Olympiad, the Games in Rio, the backward 13, the demonization of Russia took a major leap forward, aimed at making them a true enemy of the West once again, as I've been speaking about for the last 10 years on this radio show. Talk Radio, AM 640, and A View from Space. The entire Russian Olympic team has been officially banned from competing in the 31st Olympiad in Rio. The headline read today, Russia cries foul as the rest of the world welcomes the IAAF's ban. The IAAF, by the way, is the international governing body for the sporting athletics, extending their doping ban aimed at Russia to include the Olympics. Now, the Olympic Committee has also backed this strong stance, so there will be no Russians at Rio. A perfect stage for the Illuminati to exercise its authority and control over global events. Demonizing Russia is a big one. And it must be global, affecting the world. Why? The Illuminati have a global goal. So it wouldn't come as any surprise to you then to know the IAAF's president is Sebastian Coe of the United Kingdom, the nation which all the true power of this globalization is emanating from. This abrupt about-face toward Russia and making them an enemy once again to the West in the world's eyes began with the annexation of Crimea, which is merely history repeating itself. If you check, you'll find that it was Catherine the Great who also did the same thing. She annexed the Crimea back in 1783. So this is nothing new for someone who researches history. There's nothing new under the sun. It's simply history repeating itself. Putin annexes the Crimea, the go-to hotspot to cause chaos for Russian emperors. He did that with just the stroke of a pen. He's also bombing rebel forces that are backed by the United States on the ground in Syria. And this is causing quite a problem with the Pentagon, as you might well imagine. So you can see, this is a concerted effort on the part of the Illuminati to push ahead. No. Leap ahead is what I really want to say. Yes, leap ahead. Because that's what the Illuminati are doing. They're fast-forwarding the leap ahead of all three of their top three major disruptive global agendas, which is climate change, gay rights, and terrorism. Again, why? Because it's a leap year. More on that when I return. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. This is A View from Space. I'm Space, and I'm just getting started. I'm a guy they call Space. This is View from Space and Talk Radio AM 640. I communicate by one way only, and that's email. And I got two addresses. One, space at 640toronto.com. The other, spaceman at 640toronto.com. G.I. writes, hey, Space, just wanted to take a minute to say how refreshing listening to this show is at the end of a long week of garbage from the Illuminati-controlled media. and they cram it down our throats. For me, your show is like clearing of the mind. So I'm wondering, and I'll ask the question later, do you really accept the world as it's being presented to you in the Illuminati-controlled mass media? Now, the gods of Olympus, Mount Olympus, have spoken. These gods invoked every 4 years and only on leap years. And they did it not long ago in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to name the 32nd Olympiad and what city will be the host. It's the 2020 Summer Olympics, will be known as the 32nd Olympiad. Nuclear contaminated Japan beat out both Turkey, vying to become the world's first predominantly Muslim-populated country ever to host the Olympiad, and the debt-ridden country of Spain, who couldn't possibly afford them. But then, no one can. The Olympics are to drive a country into deep, deep debt. Tokyo wins over Istanbul and Madrid. Don't you find it interesting that Japan was chosen because it was deemed as the safest place to hold the games of all three? I also find it interesting that Japan, Turkey, and Spain were the final three left standing when it came to the final vote. It seems to me that the IOC, the Olympian gods, did not want a superpower to host the games of 2020. Why? I believe the answer is simply this. There is a distinct possibility that the 2020 Olympic Games may need to be canceled, called off, not staged at all. You see, there's this specter of war hanging over Syria, and this war on terrorism seems to get more and more invasive all the time in more and more countries. So right now, that could possibly erupt into something much, much bigger and very soon. Hey, these troubled Rio games were rumored to be canceled. As a matter of fact, the World Health Organization said they should be moved for health reasons because of the Zika virus. So there were rumblings and rumors of that. And it still could actually have a cancellation for this 31st Olympiad being held in Rio starting August 5th. A terrorist attack could possibly occur, shutting down the games. I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying that is a possibility. And in 2020, 4 years from now, where might the world be? Judging from where we are right now, I would say it's going to get much hotter. How hot remains to be seen. So as I said, staging the games in Rio looking to be very troubling. But here's something for you to contemplate. Tokyo, Japan was in the running in the 1940 Olympic Games bids. And guess what? In 1938, they won the bid. The 1940 Olympic Games, officially known as the Games of the 12th Olympiad of the modern times, and originally scheduled to be held from the 21st of September to the 6th of October in 1940 in Tokyo, Japan, were canceled due to the outbreak of World War II. In July of that year, Japan abandoned its support for the Olympics due to the war. The IOC then awarded the games to Helsinki, Finland, that city that had been the runner-up in the original bidding process. The games were then scheduled to be staged from the 20th July to August 4th, 1940, but the Olympic Games were suspended indefinitely following the outbreak of World War II and did not resume until 1948 when London held the Games that year. Helsinki, Finland eventually held the 1952 Summer Olympics, and Japan, Tokyo, awarded the Games in 1964. So let's see here. Japan awarded the Games at the start of World War II in 1940, but they were never held. London had the first one after the war, 1948. Now, London has just finished staging the last Games for the third time. No other city in the world has ever done that. And right on the heels of a London Olympiad, Japan is chosen as a host city again. Tell me, I ask you the question, are we going to see history repeat itself once again as the gods of Olympus have spoken, awarding Japan the 32nd Olympiad due in 2020? The 32nd Olympiad is a backward 23 in numerology. The number 23 means, and believed by the Illuminati to be, the number that will affect everyone in the world, both deeply and personally. You see, you need to know the Olympic movement is no longer a Greek phenomenon. People that really have knowledge of this will tell you the Olympic Games are, in actual fact, a London thing, totally controlled by the powers that be in that city. To give you an example of the degree of control London, England has over the Olympic movement, when it comes to the people who become Olympic members, the ones that do all the voting for the host cities, member countries don't even have equal voting rights because they don't even have equal members from each country. For instance, England will, say, have four votes, and some countries won't even have any. But then, if you didn't know that until now, you still probably know that the Olympics are a rigged game anyway. So as I've said, what were to be the 12th Olympiad in Japan was canceled, as was the 13th Olympiad scheduled for London, England, also canceled due to World War II. Could history repeat itself as the 31st, the backward 13 Olympiad in Rio, be somehow, well, interrupted or not staged at all? And the 32nd Olympiad to be held in Japan, will it be canceled, just like in past history, to World War III? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Yes, the leap year. And Olympiads are only held on leap years, and Winter Olympics are not known as an Olympiad. An Olympiad must have 4 years in between. So we have only 2 years in between for a Winter Olympics. So they're really the little kid brother. The leap year, every 4 years. And we're told the purpose of a leap year was actually to reconcile the calendar as a time correction by adding one day to the month of February. But the real reason has its origin firmly anchored in witchcraft. You see, in the world of the occult, every fifth year is a spirit year brought forth by something referred to as a quantum leap that takes place on that fourth year. To set up that quantum leap that takes place every fifth year, a major burst of energy designed to leap the world forward to a desired place. Leap years, spiritual powers are believed by the overlords of our world, the Illuminati, to give them the opportunity to harness the power of those spirits summoned in an Olympiad. More when I return on Talk Radio AM 640. This is AVFS. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. Come rolling in before the show even begins, and I thank you so much for the one that you've sent. I really appreciate it. I really do. I've been on about the leap year. And we're told, of course, that the purpose of a leap year is to actually reconcile the calendar. Time correction, adding that month in February. But the real reason is the origin is in witchcraft, where every fifth year is a spirit year brought forth by something referred to as a quantum leap that happens in the fourth, the leap year, or a major burst of energy designed to leap forward to a desired place in your mind or even physically. It could even be physically. Leap years, spiritual powers, are believed by the Illuminati, the leaders of our world, to give them the opportunity to harness the power of those spirits summoned during an Olympiad, to accelerate changes, fast-forward agendas. And that's exactly what we saw in the Illuminati-controlled mass media this past week. Going back to the Munich Olympics, terrorism first reared its ugly head. A quantum leap. Every fifth year has a quantum leap forward. That's why there's five rings in the Olympic symbol, by the way, and 5 points on the pentacle. The star representing earth, wind, fire, water, and of course, the fifth being spirit. And if you're a regular listener to AVFS on Talk Radio AM 640, you'll know that the spirit is the spirit of Lucifer, the god of light, and his minions, Zeus. Listen carefully here. The Illuminati believe that the spirits of the leap year bring forth a new era or age. And these are the forces that are at work right now and have been jammed, power-packed into all of the events that have been happening this past week. And there have been quite a few. It's really been some kind of week. A week not seen for quite a while concerning the intensity of these last 7 days. There's been the blood sacrifice ritual of the Orlando massacre at the gay bar called Pulse, of all names. Interesting, huh? Because there is no more Pulse right now. There are 49 dead. It's weakened the pulse of the gun control debate in America. This latest blood sacrifice is going to kickstart the pulse once again in the gun control debate. Already has. The Orlando massacre is now being billed as the largest mass murder in U.S. history, beating out the shooting rampage that came to be known as the Virginia Tech shooting, where Sung-hui Cho, if you'll recall, the Southern Korean-born mass murderer, killed 32 people, wounded 17 on April 16th in 2007 at the Virginia Polytech Institute State University in Blacksburg, Virginia. I went into that shooting deeper than a black hole, and all the other ones also covered right here on AVFS on Talk Radio AM 640 and exposed. Then, on Thursday of this past week, marked by a 13, by the way, Thursday was a 13 day in numerology, June 6th, 6 months. And the sixteenth day, forms the 13. June 16. The number of the cult, 13. The number of reincarnation and rebirth of a new empire, 13. The Illuminati are behind all of these quantum leap events. There was the blood sacrifice shooting, too, of Joe Cox, a British member of Parliament in the Labour Party. June 16th. She was killed just 6 days, number of man, before the Brexit vote happens this coming Thursday. And Monday, of all things, is the summer equinox. And three planets, Jupiter, representing the king, Mars, representing the god of war, and Saturn, representing Satan, all line up together in the evening sky all month long. And as if that weren't potent enough for the astrology ways of the Illuminati, the equinox, Monday, has an added potency provided this year by a strawberry full moon. On Monday, the longest day of the year, you'll also have the first day of the full moon. On the third day after the event of the summer equinox, the Brexit vote then takes place. Very cleverly, diabolically planned to be that way, as the Brexit vote happens on the third day after the all-important event for the elites, the 2016 summer equinox. They're sun worshippers, and a leap year to boot, summoning the powers of a quantum leap for next year. On Monday, the day of the summer equinox, the British Parliament will do something, too, to keep up the forward momentum in their Brexit vote agenda, otherwise known as scarerism, and that is to recall Parliament again, who are on summer leave. They're going to reconvene for the express purpose of paying homage to their dead co-worker, Joe Cox. At least that's the official excuse. Now, when I first heard of the shooting earlier in the day, this past Thursday, of Joe Cox, I said to myself, I wonder what side of the Brexit debate this parliamentarian was on. I thought, I bet it's to stay in. And sure enough, after a quick check, my thoughts were immediately confirmed. You see, the momentum has to be sustained leading up to the Brexit vote itself. As a matter of fact, for the last couple of days, there has been a ban on any kind of debating in the media on Brexit. There has been a moratorium. In other words, shut up and think about this shooting for 2 days. And sure enough, the almost unprecedented recalling of Parliament is going to be the big news story on Monday, just 3 days away from the Brexit vote, which will be just hours away, really. To remind, and especially to tap in once again, to the emotion all the Brits have been dished via the Illuminati-controlled mass media. That feeding frenzy of that coverage that someone actually died to stay, to keep Britain in the European Union. You see, the ploy being used here is all about the outpouring of emotion, as usual. It's not about facts anymore and how did it happen, who was it, why did it happen. It's all about how did you feel when it happened. Not what or who's behind these heinous acts, but how everyone feels afterwards. The emotion is the controller. Fear at a fever pitch. You can't let that die down. That's why they're recalling Parliament on Monday, to relive it all again, to make it fresh in people's minds for the Brexit vote to come just 3 days later. To put the story back into the headlines once again, the ones who vote to leave the European Union are now being branded as the side that committed the dastardly deed of murder and therefore are tagged as the bad guys who hate. This is reflected in the immigration of refugees into the country, too, the attitude, namely Muslims. Let's face it, you gotta just say it because it's true. They hate the immigration of Muslim refugees. and economic migrants and want to stop it. A no vote could do that, to take Britain out of the EU and to take their sovereignty back, which they will, in reality, never, ever get back again. It's a Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. More right after this break. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. It's the only way I communicate with you besides this microphone. And I thank you so much for the one that you've sent. I really appreciate it. I really do. Thank you. DM writes that he believes that people are so enthralled with this whole terrorism thing these days, and he's not surprised that we're wondering where the hell are we going and what is going to happen next. He has a simple solution, and it's what I've been referring to here. If we all on planet Earth stop hating each other, the question answers itself. Yes, you see, there's this pall hanging over the world, really, right now, emanating from Britain, with the death of a shooting of an MP, Joe Cox, pro staying in the Union. And the ones who vote leave the European Union are now being branded as the side that committed the deed of murder and are tagged with the bad guys who hate tag. Like I said, it's also reflected in the immigration of refugees and the non-acceptance over in Europe, because they've been inundated, flooded with the Muslim army that's unarmed. And who knows what manner of person are in those crowds. So a lot of scareism is going on, especially in Europe. They hate the immigration of refugees and economic migrants and want it stopped. And a vote no in the Brexit vote would do that, get their sovereignty back. But as I said before the break, in reality, you will never get it back. The other side, the stay-in vote, are seen as the good guys in all this. So naturally, the Illuminati-controlled talking heads invoke the power of love and say, love will always win over hate. I mean, after all, who wants to be known as somebody who hates and is thrown in with a murderous pack of animals or are planning on a leave vote come next Thursday? No, this is clearly mind control, mind manipulation by the elites who are readying Britain, grooming Britain, and the voting of Brexit for a successful stay-in vote victory. They are using the raw emotion of mourning and remorse of a valiant fighter on their side to stay in, who gave her life in the name of love and peace, not hatred and rejection. In fact, to reinforce my point, there's this headline today in British tabloids. The Joe Cox MP accused murderer, Thomas Mayer, gives his name when asked what his name was in his first court appearance. Death to traitors, freedom for Britain, he said was his name. Right now, as I speak to you tonight, this man is seen as the premier spokesperson for the leave vote. Not a madman. This murder, by the way, as was intended, brought everyone together as one. This past Friday, yesterday, as the British Prime Minister, the opposition leader, and the Speaker of the House even, gathered in the town of Bristol, West Yorkshire, to strike while the iron was hot. Bristol, West Yorkshire is the scene of the murder, of course. West, by the way, means death to the sun worshippers. The sun sets or dies in the west, you see, and is rebirth and born again in the east. Bristol's name means fortified place, or the place where the fort is. And it's also, the town of Bristol, a sacred Illuminati ground. This area is believed to be an ancient Anglo-Saxon burial ground. Get it? So the three men of power, representing all the people of Britain, gather together in the fortified place, Bristol. Curiously standing directly in front of a stone monument the whole time, while paying homage to this sacrificed politician ritually killed to energize the emotion to sway the Brexit vote to a desired outcome by the elites. The monument, by the way, was of one Joe Priestley. Bristol, you see, is the birthplace of Joseph Priestley, the discoverer of oxygen, if you're wondering who that is. Priestley was tutored extensively by the then vicar of Bristol, an Edinburgh man who had a deep penchant, love for science. Priestley's science was integral to his theology, too, and he consistently tried to fuse Enlightenment rationalism with Christian theism. In other words, he was diluting and mixing in the occult with Christianity in those earliest of times. Joseph Priestley is seen as one of the greats in Britain. That's why there's a monument in Bristol today. In his metaphysical texts, Priestley attempted to combine theism, materialism, and determinism, a project that's been called audacious and original. He even believed that a proper understanding of the natural world would actually promote human progress and eventually bring about the Christian millennium. You know what that is? A belief held by some Christians that there will be a golden age of paradise on earth in which Christ will reign for 1,000 years prior to the final judgment and future eternal state, the world to come of the new heavens and the new earth. Similarities to millennialism are found in Zoroastrianism, which is a sun-worshipping religion. That belief is that there were successive 1,000-year periods, each of which will end in a cataclysm of heresy and destruction, until the final destruction of evil and the spirit of evil by a triumphant king of peace at the end of the final millennial age. Joseph Priestley is the founder also of the Church of Unitarianism. Traditional Unitarians believe that Jesus of Nazareth is in some sense the Son of God, as all humans are children of the Creator, but that he is not the one God himself. They may believe that he was inspired by God in his moral teachings and can, well, be considered a savior, but all Unitarians perceive Christ as human rather than a deity. So this golden age is in fact coming. It's going to be copied, counterfeited by the Antichrist, and will be the implementation of the New World Order I speak about every week on AVFS on Talk Radio AM 640. It's soon to come, following World War III. So you can see now why David Cameron, Prime Minister of Britain, Jeremy Corbyn, the opposition leader, and the House Speaker in the British Parliament were standing in front of this man, Joe Priestley's monument, to eulogize a murdered member of Parliament, Joe Cox. There's a connection to the United States of America in this, too. Besides Britain seemingly to have taken a page out of the habitual American act, it seems, of creating chaos to create change by murdering people with guns, it involves that Joseph Priestley, a very controversial figure in Britain, so much so that he eventually was forced to flee Bristol in West Yorkshire, his birthplace, in 1791, first he went to London, and then to the United States, after a mob burned down his home and church. He spent the last 10 years of his life living in Northumberland County, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America. So that's the first American connection. There's more coming up on Talk Radio AM 640. It's the Spaceman. More next. I'm the guy to call Space. It's a View from Space. Talk Radio AM 640. You can email me, spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. I have two addresses for you to take the load, and I really appreciate the one that you've sent. I really do. And thank you so much for sending it. So as I say, this murder of Joe Cox, the Member of Parliament in Britain, very controversial figure, is Joseph Priestley, who was front and center, believe it or not, in the Joe Cox outpouring of sympathy when the Prime Minister of Britain, the opposition leader, and the Speaker of the House journeyed to Bristol, the place of the shooting, but didn't go to the exact spot where the shooting occurred. Instead, they stood in front of this monument honoring a man called Joe Priestley, who has an American connection. Interesting, isn't it? The shooter and the Bristol killing of Joe Cox is a man who is now charged with the murder, is said to have ties with a white supremacist group in the U.S. So, two ties to the United States. Joseph Priestley and the shooter. And that's exactly where the three amigos were standing at the outpouring of grief for Joe Cox earlier this week. Just as in the shooting in Britain, the American mass shooting this past week, with a perpetrator having a connection to ISIS terrorists. The same exact ritual for both shooting events this week has been happening. And despite the killer repeated pledges of allegiance to ISIS on the morning of the massacre, some say they believe it was actually fueled by struggles with his sexuality and may have latched on to ISIS as a vehicle for his anger. See, what happens is when these things go down, so much information is released in so many different directions that it confuses people. When people are confused, they're easily manipulated. They don't know what is up and what is down any longer. They don't know what the truth is any longer. And they are susceptible to believing anything. And eventually, it always goes to the belief of the authorities who, well, dominate in that area. The Illuminati-controlled mass media will not put on anything else. You will hear nothing on the Illuminati-controlled mass media that you hear on this show. Why? And the fumbling, bumbling FBI, you won't hear them say that. You will on this show. Said that they had no direct connection between Mateen and ISIS. Yet ISIS has already taken full responsibility for the incident. I mean, within hours after. The man's full name, Omar Mir Sadiq Mateen. He was born in New York City. His parents originally from Afghanistan. And Mateen was one of hundreds of people on the agency's, the FBI's radar list, suspected of being ISIS sympathizers. He was said to have had a casual connection with Manar Muhammad Abdusalah and attended the same mosque as he. Salah was raised in Vero Beach, Florida, by the way. He was the American suicide bomber who killed himself and several Syrian troops with a truck bomb in Ahira in Syria. Both Salah and Mateen lived in Fort Pierce, Florida. That's about a two-hour drive from Orlando. Now, the FBI say they interviewed him in two terrorist-related cases, being Mateen. But both of them were closed. The FBI first became aware of Mateen in 2013 when he makes inflammatory comments to co-workers alleging possible terrorist ties. But the investigation was closed after FBI investigators were unable to verify the substance of his comments. Again, in 2014, the FBI interviewed Mateen again over possible connections with an American suicide bomber, Salah. The FBI stated, "We determined that contact was minimal and did not constitute a substantive relationship or threat." Yeah, and every day we get new revelations as the Illuminati-controlled mass media keep their agenda red-hot about the man who killed 49 at an Orlando gay nightclub. On the week leading up to the summer equinox, today, new revelations. They're meant to give legs, you see, and yet more insight into what the killer was supposedly like. Forget about going through, why did it take 3 hours for the police to finally get to the Pulse nightclub? A 3-hour delay. They don't cover that in the Illuminati-controlled mass media. They cover things like the details, raising the questions of what the people who touched his life knew, and whether Mateen could have done anything, or the people that knew Mateen could have done anything to help prevent the largest mass shooting now in modern U.S. history. His school records even showed that he was in a constant turmoil with the teachers as early as elementary school, and throughout high school it continues. Law Enforcement Academy, where he tried to get in as a prison guard. He asked a fellow recruit in 2007 whether he'd report him or not if he brought a gun to school. We're informed that Mateen was also caught sleeping in class several times, later dismissed. And in recent months, he also apparently makes financial arrangements for his family. In fact, he said he added his wife to his life insurance and allowed her access to his bank accounts. Today there's even more information about his reported visit to the gun shop where he acted so suspiciously while trying unsuccessfully to buy body armor and ammunition that the store owner said. Wait, he calls the FBI. He also bought his wife an expensive piece of jewelry. His wife also said that in the weeks before the attack, her husband spent thousands of dollars, including money for the guns that he used. As a student at Florida's Martin County High School, Mateen was supposedly suspended for a total of 48 days, 5 days out of school, and 43 in-school suspension days. That's according to the school. Among the suspension's reasons, fighting, causing injury. And years later, in 2007, more misbehavior. It's on a flip side. This break on Talk Radio AM 640. This is AVFS. I'm Space. Back with more in just a minute. I'm the Spaceman. It's a view from space. That's all it is on Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. And thank you for yours. So as I said, trouble in school, disciplined, behavioral issues, 31 times in elementary school. Had a repeated intervention from teachers and school psychologists. The records, which cover the school years from 92 to 98, include a written report from his third grade teacher that describes him as being a verbally abusive, rude, aggressive, and a lot of talk about violence. As a matter of fact, a former classmate said that Mateen threatened to bring a gun to school once while he was in the fifth grade and going to kill everybody. But guess what? Classmate never named and could not recall the punishment he received for that. Then he was deemed fit not to serve as a member of the FDC. That's the Florida Department of Corrections. He was going to be a jailkeeper. A keister, as they call him in the joint. It's said that he was unable to meet the basic requirements of the Correctional Officer Academy. But he was good enough for the company that he ended up working for, the security company. More on that in just a moment. Then there's the connection to homophobia, right from the very start. And I'm talking just a few short hours after the mass shooting took place. Mateen's father appears on the Illuminati-controlled mass media. I was actually quite taken aback, having the parent on almost immediately after the fact. And, of course, not showing that he was shaken up at all. Not unnerved at all. As a matter of fact, quite calm, cool, and collected, giving it the tag, "This was a terrorist attack." It was almost like a news guy. It's the guy's father. He was on the mass media, controlled Illuminati mass media, planting the seed that after seeing two men kissing in Miami, Mateen had expressed outrage to his father. Now, his father, Sadiq, has actually met with U.S. congressmen and the United States Department, the State Department. He's a Taliban-supporting Provisional Government of Afghanistan presidential candidate. His son, the shooter Omar Mateen, worked for G4S. That company provides security for about 90% of America's nuclear facilities. He was okay for that job. Something's wrong, isn't it? You can feel it, you know it. With all of these supposed red flags that I've brought up to you, you would go, this guy was a walking, ticking time bomb. I mean, he should be watched on a 24-hour surveillance. Not long ago, at Fort Huachuca, in Arizona, by the way, Mateen was alleged to have hauled illegal immigrants across the border in Jupiter security-operated vans with U.S. Border Control authorization. Now, you find that hard to believe? I don't. Injecting chaos into a country through immigration is one of the common forms of creating chaos by the elites. And this so-called terrorist, Omar Mateen, simply waltzes past security at a nightclub with an AR-15 rifle, with high-capacity magazines, as well as a Glock 9mm semi-automatic pistol, just exactly like Adam Lanza supposedly did at Sandy Hook, where he shot all those children. Here's even more. Mateen's father, Sadiq, is the leader of the Provisional Government of Afghanistan, and who actually had his own television show promoting the Taliban, and was a candidate, as I said, for the Afghani presidency. Sounds just like the Christmas bomber, Umar Farooq Abdulmutallab. And that story, doesn't it? Remember, he's the student who attended to detonate plastic explosives aboard a Northwest Airlines flight. His father, Farooq Abdulmutallab, was the Nigerian defense minister and the man who played a major role in introducing Islamic banking into Nigeria. So, anyway, his son evades customs, gets onto the aircraft. This is the guy known as the underwear bomber. Boards the plane and then tries to detonate the bomb on board, but fails. At least that's what we were told at the time. That event changed many rules almost immediately on flights all around the world, on how people fly and the security precautions. The Christmas bomber's father, Farooq, reported to two CIA officers at the United States Embassy in Abuja, Nigeria, in November of 2009, regarding his son's extreme religious views, and told the embassy that he might even be in Yemen. His son's name was then added in November of that year, 2009, to the United States list of some 550,000 terrorist identities, DataMart Environment, a database of the United States National Counterterrorism Center. But his U.S. visa was never revoked. It was never taken away from him. Some people are even asking, was this Orlando mass murder aided by crisis actors too? A la Sandy Hook, that played everybody for fools. So you mean to tell me this guy, Mateen, whose father was a wannabe bigwig in Afghanistan, and a guy who worked for one of the largest for-profit security companies in the world, with access to nuclear power plants in America, just went off all of a sudden and decided to kill gay people because he saw a couple kissing a few months back and then declared himself to ISIS? Is that really what you want us to swallow? Oh, wait. We also have the usual news that he had been investigated by the FBI twice. Not once, twice since 2013 for supposedly making terrorist-sounding threats. And yet, he was still working for G4S and no one was watching? According to the official story, Mateen even called 911 three times when he was in the bathroom with the hostages during the standoff. Well, there was no cop around. Well, they weren't coming in for quite a while yet. He took over the place at about 2 o'clock. At about 2:20, his AR-15 jams. He takes out his Glock and herds a bunch of people into the bathroom. And it was about 2:30 at that time. He starts making the calls to 911. Still no cops there. There were two cops that he got into a minor shootout with. That's about it. But no other cops came. For 3 hours! Have you heard this once? On the Illuminati-controlled mass media? Once, even? No, you haven't. And have you ever heard those recordings of Mateen calling 9/11 three times? No. We hear many other 911 calls released. Why not Mateen? I mean, after all, this is the guy that was responsible for the greatest mass murder killing in history in the United States. Salacious audio for the Illuminati-controlled mass media, wouldn't you think? But nobody has ever heard those calls, the recordings. And this delay, 3 hours. Did a delay in police response give Orlando nightclub shooter more time? As the largest mass shooting in modern U.S. history begins to unfold, he gets into a shootout with an off-duty police officer working at a gay nightclub, exchanges gunfire with the suspect, but 3 hours pass before anybody else shows up, before a SWAT team finally storms the building at around 5 o'clock in the morning and brought the attack to an end. They sat and waited. They stood around and waited for 3 hours. Oh, they have an excuse. The authorities in Orlando say the situation changed from an active shooter scenario to a hostage situation once the gunman made his way into the bathroom where the clubgoers were hiding. He first had a shootout with the off-duty officer, as I said, at the club's entrance. Then the two officers arriving, and the gunfight continues. And once in the restroom, Mateen calls 911 with no other problems, no other threats from the police. And he makes statements pledging allegiance to the Islamic State. It's almost as if it's choreographed. to happen then, following the script. That's when the shooting stops. He makes these calls at around 2:30 in the morning. There's still 2.5 hours before the police show up. 2.5 hours. But Mateen soon begins talking about explosives and bombs. And that's when the police in Orlando with a SWAT team decide to move in at about 5 a.m. to detonate an explosive on an exterior wall to prevent potentially greater loss of life. But the explosives didn't even penetrate the wall. They had to get the armored vehicle to smash up against the wall and make a hole. It was used to punch a 2-foot by a 3-foot hole in the wall about 2 feet from the ground. It was like Keystone Cops. And a 3-hour stall. Police tactics changed after the 1999 massacre at Columbine High School. I was on the air then. I covered that story, too, deeply, many times, over and over, as it kept coming and coming and coming, new information all the time, revealing all manner of crazy, crazy, crazy decisions by the authorities. This is Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640, coming back with more right after this break, because there is more.
Oh, my God, I call space. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. This is A View from Space. I welcome your emails, too, spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. And thank you so much for the ones that you've sent. Actually, on this subject alone, this Mateen Orlando shooting, my inbox was inundated starting from last Sunday afternoon. Now, did a delay in police response give Orlando nightclub shooters, the Orlando nightclub shooter more time? Since Columbine, 1999, police tactics were supposedly to have changed. In Columbine, where the first officers arrived, exchanging fire with the two high school kids, they then stopped and waited for the SWAT team to arrive. That took all of 45 minutes. By then, Harris, Dylan Klebold, had killed 12 students and a teacher. At that time, the standard police practice was to set up a perimeter, wait for SWAT officers, then go inside. But the heads of the police departments began to realize that the delayed response gave suspects more time to kill. Oh, what a revelation. Ben Tisa, former FBI agent, said, "We can't just let them have free rein and continue to shoot." He was also a SWAT team former member. The bottom line, he said, is that police commanders in Florida did not allow the SWAT team members to enter until several hours after the shooter began the attack. Now, many people also point to the other mass shootings in history where a delay in confronting the shooter probably gave the gunman lots more time to maneuver an attack. For instance, mass shooting 84. McDonald's restaurant, San Ysidro, California, gave one of the earliest lessons with 21 people killed and 19 wounded before a SWAT team takes out the gunman about 45 minutes later. The decision by law enforcement to hold off entering the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, where 102 people were shot, 49 died, immediately raised questions among everybody, even some experts in police tactics.
They said the lessons learned from the other mass shootings show conclusively that police must get inside swiftly, even at great risk, to stop the threat and save lives. But in 2016, with now the largest mass murder in U.S. history, there was a 3-hour delay. Prevented. The SWAT team prevented by the authorities to go in. Saying the excuse was, well, it was moved from an active shooter to a hostage situation. We usually have to kind of try and negotiate with the hostage taker. Right. And you're not going to believe this. You talk about drama for television. It was ABC, the television network. Apparently, after barely escaping the Pulse nightclub with their lives, there's a bunch of victims who decide to walk back down the street in front of some guy with a camera, ABC, right past the still ongoing hostage situation, getting their pictures taken. And they had just barely escaped from the Pulse nightclub. What? No, that didn't happen. The police would have prevented anyone from doing anything that stupid, wouldn't they? To go back to the Pulse nightclub and stand around across the street? Wouldn't happen. But apparently, it did. Look for yourself. Do some research of your own. ABC television. Find and view that ABC news footage. If you do, you'll find out just exactly what I've said is completely true. They're there in the video, walking down the street, right back toward the Pulse nightclub across the street, right through a hostage standoff scene. And just one in that group, by the way, was wearing a ball cap, was the only one who spoke and did all of the television interviews. Kind of a plant is that? But in fact, several groups of supposedly injured people actually begin walking right past, back through the police standoff scene, unmolested, all to be captured on video by ABC. Why? To heighten the drama in this event. All these guys, we're told, survived the attack at the club by the announcer, only to get away, and then move down the street a little ways, and then turn around and walk back in a neat little well-timed convoy of dramatic scene groups. Right back in front of the location where the cops had just completed a shootout with a bad guy? As you can tell from the darkness, the cops had yet to break into the club and clear Mateen out. And even if they had by then, they would still have the area locked down as a crime scene. As you can see for yourself, if you view this ABC footage, they were set up right across the street from where the shootout was taking place, inside the club. Listen, with an active shooter hostage situation in progress, do you think for one moment that the police would ever allow wounded civilians or civilians of any kind to just walk across the street back into the scene? That's totally and absolutely ridiculous. There were other video coverage, hours of video coverage, but as usual, no bodies. Oh, there was one with a minor leg injury visible on camera. I know, I checked them all. Just as the FBI claimed Adam Lanza shot 26 people at Sandy Hoax, all children and one teacher, and the impossibility of the event became apparent, making some people rethink their take on what happened at Sandy Hook. Well, children were killed. Change the gun laws now. the Illuminati-controlled mass media screamed. Now, 2016, June, this past week, the same FBI that was at Sandy Hook claims Mateen shot and killed 49, injuring 53, and had a three-hour gun battle with law enforcement. No, they didn't. They waited for 3 hours to go in. The impossibility of the event as it's described is over-the-top ridiculous. We're to believe Mateen waltzed in, passing the nightclub security, carrying two guns and hundreds of rounds of high-capacity magazine, managing to shoot 102 people in a dark nightclub with a rifle? This is Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. There's more right after this. Feel free, want to communicate with me. space@640toronto.com, one address, or spaceman@640toronto.com. And I thank you so much for the one you've sent me. I really appreciate it. I just want to now, after I told you about the three-hour delay in Orlando, and then Sandy Hook, that when those lawmakers appeared on television, were screaming, children were shot, change the gun laws, how evil can this be? And now, the Illuminati event of December 2nd, last year, 2015, San Bernardino. That was really one for personal freedom. Knowing what's on a cell phone. If the police have the right or not to crack it and find out exactly what was going on. And they wanted a back door to the Apple iPhone, if you'll all recall. So just let me remind you of that Illuminati event, San Bernardino. Now, if you count the days in between, because you see, each event has a particular purpose. Sandy Hook was, oh my God, think of the children. Orlando was, oh, that was a dual one. That was a terrorist attack and a hate crime. I'm surprised they didn't even wiggle in somehow climate change with that. So, let me say this. The Illuminati event on December 2nd, 2015, San Bernardino, and the Orlando shooting. If you count the days in between the San Bernardino event, the one that evoked the challenge to change the right to personal privacy, to this Orlando event, you come up with their 193 days exactly apart. In numerology, the number 193 breaks down to a 13. The Orlando mass shooting, now known as the largest mass killing in America, was the 139th mass shooting this year in the U.S. 139 other mass shootings in 2016 so far. This year. This one coming 193 days exactly after San Bernardino. Okay. 193 and 139. Notice the similarities. Both of these numbers include the exact same numbers, a 1 and a 9 and a 3. And both of these numbers form 13s in numerology, of course. The third was the death count in the event, 49. 13. And at that event, they were originally stated that there were 50 dead. That was the immediate headcount, right away. In the earliest of the stages. And this was changed a day later to 49 dead. But accompanied with this bit of news, that there were many other critically wounded besides the 49, and that possibly more would die. But they didn't. But that number, 13, in the death count, never changed after they changed it from 50, knocked it down to 49. So that would make three embedded 13s numerologically into this event, giving it the maximum potency of a spell cast of three 13s. You see, in witchcraft, three is the maximum number of magnification of a spell cast to get the most maximum potency and productivity out of it. Three 13s. The birth, death, resurrection number in this event. The definition, by the way, for a mass shooting is a shooting where at least four people or more are shot dead with no lull or break, no lapse of time taken in the event. Here's more numerology for you. Did you see the only live video, the live footage of the wife of Mateen? She was being questioned by the FBI. She was wearing a dark hoodie. It's the only time she appeared on television. And you actually didn't even see her at all. All you saw was this form with a dark hoodie on it, with the black numbers on the back, 86. Huge numbers. I mean, they were gargantuan, big black numbers. And it's the only place that your eyes gravitate to when you view the footage. The 86, the number on her back. 86, by the way, is a number code to convey the message, meaning to kill someone. You know that, eh? To 86 someone. It actually comes from an old idea of taking a person 80 miles from civilization, killed execution style, then buried 6 feet under. 86th. That person's been 86th. The other glaring part of this mass shooting in Orlando was, of course, the gay connection. It happened just as the gay summer parade celebrations begin around the world. How coincidental is that? And it actually became a huge promotion for, let's everyone get out to the parades this year and show our solidarity. And the absurd statement by Mateen's father that he saw two men kissing, that enraged him. And it sparked him to do the greatest mass killing in American history. And as well, it then comes out that he was gay himself and that he couldn't come to terms with it. So he took it on the people at the gay bar. Ridiculous. No, this is the same M.O. as the killing of the British MP, Joe Cox. It was postulated as a lovers versus haters. In that the Illuminati event that took the life of Joe Cox, the elites invoked the power of love and stated love will always win over hate. And who wants to be known as someone who hates, represented by the leave vote in Brexit, and is thrown in with a murderous pack of animals who are planning on voting the way, that way, come next Thursday? No, that was clear mind manipulation by the Illuminati, who are readying Britain for a successful stay-in vote victory using the raw emotion of mourning and remorse over a valiant fighter who gave her life in the name of love and peace, not hatred and rejection. Same with gay rights in the Orlando shooting, in the aftermath of the Orlando mass shooting. Lovers versus haters. If you're a good person, a lover, you'll change your views on gay rights, won't you? And go along with it now. After all, they killed 49 gay people. If you don't change your view, you're a hater. And you're lumped in with the shooter. No, this is purely aimed at the promotion of gay rights. There's nothing like blood sacrifice to the Illuminati's gods to get that done. You see, to the elites, the blood sacrifices are so valuable. And you can see why. Evoking all that emotion. Enough to change most people's views on the subject. Listen, they even trotted out the royals. They played the big card. Prince William and Kate were actually seen signing a condolence book for the 49 dead gays in the Orlando event. But did you see Prince William and Kate sign a condolence recognition for their own countryman, Joe Cox, who served as an MP in their government? No. And Prince William, for the first time, pictured on the front cover of a British gay magazine. That when I return on Talk Radio AM 640 for the promotion of gay rights. Future kings endorsing the gay rights movement and a blood sacrifice murder to get everyone aboard. Space back with more next. I'm the Spaceman. It's Talk Radio AM 640. This is A View from Space. Yes, if you'd like to communicate, I have only one way. I don't have any website. I don't have Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. As a matter of fact, I don't even have a cell phone. I have a very small, tiny cyber footprint. I do what I can to stay out of it. I know the technology. I work well with the technology, but what questions I have about it, I weigh the side of convenience and I weigh the side of personal freedom. So I elect not to use a lot of it because of that very reason. I much rather real life. Talking to real people with flesh on their face standing in front of me rather than banging my two thumbs on a pad to communicate, if you get my meaning. I need the fleshy contact because it's only, well, human. Okay? So, space at 640toronto.com or spaceman at 640toronto.com. Yes, Prince William was, what's the word I should use? Was enlisted to plug, to promote the gay rights agenda. Because as I said at the start of the show, the Illuminati have three disruptor topics that they're going hard on right now. When the world should be talking about jobs and the economy, we're talking about climate change and how much it will cost us all to save the planet, and gay rights and terrorism. Those are the only three being pushed. And Prince William and Kate came out and signed a condolence book for the 49 dead gays at the Orlando event. But there was no condolence recognition for their own countryman, Joe Cox, as I stated before the break last hour. No. And then Prince William appears for the first time ever, pictured in front of on the front of the British gay magazine. He's on the cover of the upcoming July edition of the mag called Attitude. Done to sway your opinion. You see, attitude, get it? Of course. They want to change your attitude. I find the dead MP's last name a bit curious, too. Cox. Do you get that? Or is it just me? Or is it intended synchronicity? I just find the timing, too, of these two latest shootings, these Illuminati events, to be just a little too conspicuous, a little too convenient, a little too apropos, a little too tailor-made for the moment. So are you one of those people? One of those people who accept the world as it is being presented to you? Or are
are you going, wait, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You're the authority, but wow, that's a stretch and it's hard to believe. Thousands of years ago, civilizations rose and fell. And each time one fell, another, of course, took its place. By civilizations, I really mean the creation of artificial systems. Like old money. Of course, used to build these artificial systems called civilizations with. And when you think about it, money is a very unnatural thing to use for selling something. Because money has absolutely no use in of itself. It's only a tool. That's how it's pushed over through economies. So it's a tool that helps you sell or purchase something. It helps the buying and selling process by using a middleman. And of course, those who introduce the money ultimately control the buyer and the seller. And only Illuminati-controlled governments have the right to print money, have the power to print money. For money, they build cities. Cities are an artificial hive, like a beehive, as Plato once called them even. And through cities, these civilizations really are one civilization under many faces. Throughout the cities, money used, because we use money in a city, and we can't get sustenance in a city if we don't have it. We can't feed ourselves. Cities are totally artificial. In other words, our culture is changing. It is becoming fluid and flexible, which is not a natural thing. A person's culture meant you relied on the past, the history of your people, to keep you on the right path. Now, we have cultures mixing into one another, forcibly in some instances, like the economic refugees, the Muslim refugees coming into Europe. Madonna, for instance, has been used by the Illuminati over and over for years as the best culture buster they've ever had for peoples of the world. For instance, what I mean by a culture buster, Madonna went into Japan. And when she did, she convinced all the younger generation of little girls to abandon the old Japanese culture of the promiscuity, the fashion, the girl power of civilization of ancient Babylon. That's what they wanted. They didn't want to be the old cultural style anymore. They wanted to be like Madonna. Promiscuous. Girl power civilization. Exactly like ancient Babylon. Changing cultures is really actually a science the Illuminati have down pat from all their experiences they've gathered in the past. They know how to manipulate it. They always start in the cities, where once they have the money circulating, they pack them, stack them, and tax them. And they've trained the people outside, the farmers, to accept money for their food products, and so on. They then build a standing army from inside the city. And with that army, they can go outside of the city and conquer other people, forcing them into the system. Forcing them to, say, for instance, use money, their currency. They give them a religion. And really, they become simply, well, slaves. And as Charles Galton Darwin once said, the grandson of Charles Darwin, every civilization has really been a form of slavery for the people. And he was all for it. That was the natural order of things, according to him. And of course, all who are trained in power and control over the people. The elite rich, you see, are trained in this technique right from birth. You see, the Illuminati picked Darwinism as the religion for you and I because it's the law of the jungle. The fittest survive. The elite rich are the strongest in the jungle, in evolution, and will always prevail. We are, after all, according to Darwinism, just animals, right? We're not really human. We evolved from monkeys. Space, back with more. Right after this break on Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. Thanks for the one you sent. I really appreciate it. Now, the elite, the Illuminati kids, they're brought up different than you and I. They're brought up listening to a different version of reality, even, than you and I are. You see, they're taught in the very, very high institutions of learning that they attend. They're taught the reality of life is that the predator is at the top of the natural order. Law of the jungle, remember? They're the predators, of course, because they're such hypocrites. As good predators, they can't tell the rest of us how they're really going to feed off of us or manipulate us for different ends, because we don't understand these things. And those with the low IQs, the little people at the bottom of this pyramid, you and I, must be kept in the dark. Oh, they're vampires. They feed off of you. They get you to do the work. They collect the cash. Now, remember, I ask you the question. Are you one of those people who accept the world as it's presented to them? You know what they call you? What they teach their children to call you? Profane. Profane in Masonry actually means those in the darkness. Base people. Which is really a hypocrisy in itself, because it's like breaking the legs of a cow and then kicking the cow because they can't get up. That's the hypocrisy of this global system. And that's how they view the public. Well, they've broken our legs. They hate you and I because we can't get up. We're pathetic. And of course, they claim that we need them. Too big to fail, they say. It's like if the rich can't be really rich, then they won't get us any jobs. And they're the ones who get jobs for people. It's like saying the mice in the fields need the hawk. Because this is the law of the predator. From the days of Babylon, before Babylon actually, they called them the Harappans, one of the most mysterious cultures of the ancient world, the Harappan civilization. This culture existed along the Indus River in present-day Pakistan. It was named after the city of Harappa, which was centered around Harappa and the city of Mohenjo-Daro, where the greatest achievements of the Indus Valley civilization were achieved. These cities were well known for their impressive and organized layout. Over 100 other towns and villages were built in surrounding areas. The Harappan people were literate, used Dravidian language. Only part of this language has been deciphered today, leaving a lot of questions about this civilization of the Harappans unanswered. But the Harappan civilization was urban and mercantile, meaning a meeting together of people for the purpose of trade by private purchase and sale. Inhabitants of the Indus Valley traded with Mesopotamia, southern India, Afghanistan, Persia for gold, silver, copper, and turquoise. That's a mineral that is a bluish-green or greenish-gray hydrous basic phosphate of copper and aluminum. It takes a high polish and is valued, very valued as a gem when it's sky blue. The Mesopotamian model of
irrigation, irrigated agriculture, was used to take advantage of the fertile grounds along the Indus River. Earthlinks, as a matter of fact, were built to control the river's annual flooding even. Crops grown, including wheat, barley, peas, melons, sesame. This civilization was the very first to cultivate cotton for the production of cloth. Some animals were first domesticated there, too, including the elephant, which was used for its ivory and its workability. Its immense size could do a lot of work lifting. The Harappan culture extended all the way from Egypt right through the Middle East to China. And now they're excavating pre-Sumerian Harappan cities on trade routes. And, of course, to live that very high standard of living, these merchants used the money system. They even had indoor plumbing. The Harappan civilization experienced its height around 2500 BC, ended around 2000 BC. What caused the downfall? Another civilization was created by destroying the old one. Culture busting. Just what was the replacement? It was the Aryan civilization. Aryan religious texts and human remains in Mohenjo-Daro provide evidence that the Aryans, Persians, violently entered the area, killed all the inhabitants, and burned all the cities. If you go into the Minoan cultures, you're going to find the Minoans in the Aegean Sea controlled all the trade routes. They controlled all the merchandising on the sea and land, like Britain does today. They also had indoor plumbing and central heating and even hot water for bathing in and showers. They lived in a great civilization of that opulent lifestyle. It was just a wonderful existence for this high ancient elite who obviously didn't create the culture themselves or the system, but simply were taught it by the elite before them. They even got it from a previous civilization in turn, and so it now brings us to this current empire, the one we're living in today. We're looking at people down through the ages who are intergenerational, a bloodline who passes their system on to the next. And of course, that is exactly what this is all about, because dynasties and power never give up power. When they do move, it's because it was their turn to lose in warfare, because they have turns, you see. War is to create change, not for what the public thinks it's for. So when the ones whose turn it is to lose, they will actually move to their enemy's camp, the elites, which are actually their friends, and share the spoils and bring up their children and slap the name of the country on them, and they don't even care what they call the country. This is the reason that the former Prime Minister of Afghanistan, Musharraf, switched sides. It's the same reason the German family occupying Buckingham Palace was the enemy of Germany during World War II. The two main combatants were Britain and Germany. But the people who went to war were Germans, living in Britain, fighting Germany. You see, the elite never, ever get massacred or wiped out with their wealth. They just move. The bloodline moves down through the ages. They bring on catastrophes to empires when they've used that empire up. And they've already created another one to move into, and then they flatter the old one and move on. And this has been the system for thousands of years. We're on the cusp right now of a new world order. They're destroying this one purposely, and a lot of people are questioning institutions like the United States Federal Reserve. Supposedly the the policeman of all of the wealth in the world and the driver of all economies. But really, in fact, they're now looking to be, well, unknowledgeable, incorrect, weak, impotent, because they're changing empires. You see, the trick of Darwinism is to make you think that we've been evolving as a human species since 200,000 BC. That's absolute garbage, you know. This whole evolution thing is actually a Masonic doctrine. It's nothing to do with what we think it's meant to be at all. It's a Masonic doctrine. His 1859 book on the origin of species by means of natural selection, or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life, known worldwide as just the origin of species, established evolution by common descent as the dominant scientific explanation of diversification in nature. For that, Darwin was made a fellow of the Royal Society. He continues his research, writes a series of books on plants and animals, including humankind. One big one, The Descent of Man, and Selection of in Relation to Sex and the Expression of the Emotions in Man and Animals. He also was given the ultimate royal salute, buried at Westminster Abbey, close to Sir John Frederick William Herschel, of all people, the first baronet and knight in the Guelphic Order of Royal House of Hanover. He was an English mathematician and astronomer. He was the son of astronomer William Herschel. Herschel, if you're unaware, originated the use of the Julian day system in astronomy. The Julian day, or Julian day number, is the number of days that have elapsed since Monday, January 1st, 4713 BC, and what's now called the proleptic Julian calendar. That day is counted as Julian day zero, by the way, and Herschel was a member of the Royal Guelphic Order also, sometimes also referred to as the Hanovering Guelphic Order. It was a British order of chivalry instituted in 1815 by Prince Regent, later George IV. And it's never been given to anyone by the British Crown since the death of King William IV in 1837, when the personal union of the United Kingdom and Hanover ended. This is Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm going to down to call Space. It's a view from Space Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. JL writes, it's kind of funny, those who are apparently predators and superior to the rest of us tend to be born with everything handed to them in a one-sided system, live in a hidden life, and hide behind fortresses in armies from the common man. They're weak. To be king of the jungle, you have to be able to beat the competition. And they've rigged everything to where they have no competition. I'm sure there are a million plus unwashed that could easily overthrow and outclass them in every way. That's also why they have to actively try to keep everybody in the dark. They simply can't match the numbers of the masses. That's right. Absolutely correct. And there is no other way to describe it. So, I want to talk a little bit more about the Minoans. We know they also shared, and that they were a part of the ancient Egyptian elite, because the decorations on their walls have the same images, same style, same techniques used as you can see for yourself inside some of the tombs in Egypt. The civilization we live in now has symbols of ancient Egypt also indelibly stamped inside everyone's head. And a real elite wouldn't live in a place where they could easily be attacked. The Minoans, you see, had a front, an empire or a city, and entered it and left it. The elite rich had somewhere safe to go. Always the back door. Always the underground passage. It was the middle of the Aegean Sea, and we know, for instance, the Minoans were in the middle of the Aegean. And for instance, then in a circle in the Aegean Sea of little islands, which were left after a volcano, they had a huge island there at one time. And islands like there are the remains from when the tropic volcanoes sank into the ocean. So these little fringe ones remained and became separate little islands. And that's where we get a lot of the Minoan history from. Did you know the Minoans used a double-headed axe in their religious ceremonies? Labrys is the word used to describe the double-headed axe, known to the classical Greeks as pelikes or sagaris, and to the Romans as bipennis. Representations of this labrys, this double-headed axe, are on Neolithic finds of old Europe, and the labrys is found right through Minoan, Thracian, Greek, and Byzantine art and mythology. The symbol of this double-headed axe is from down through the ages. So we're looking at something the Catholic Church used thousands of years later, because Minoans were around 5,000 to 6,000 BC. And here is the same symbol used by their own Catholic Church, who simply inherit their culture from the Greeks who moved into Rome. The elite rich, of course, bought all this symbology with them. That's how it's done. That's why we have the ancient Egyptian mystery symbols in our system today. The Greeks got it from the Minoans, so this is an endless stream of symbology passed down through the ages of language, which they understand very well, and which some very high up in masonry running our world today understand, and which some people who are natural adepts can figure out themselves, but not very many. The Catholic Church used this Minoan double-headed axe, the labrys, with the bundle of rods around it, meaning strength was in numbers. See, when you get one twig, you can break it easily. But if you put a whole bunch of twigs together, put them in a bundle, tie them together, pretty damn hard to break them, isn't it? It's harder. And so the nobility, the ruling elite, must stick together just like that. And at all costs. And in the middle of the bundle is the main shaft, the actual axe itself. This exact symbol is in the Senate in the United States Congressional Hall in the U.S., where the president gives his speeches every day, and every other president before him has. These two bundled axes up on the wall on each side of the American flag are fascist symbols. The word fascist comes from the word fasces, which means a bundle of rods, and among them an axe with a projecting blade. The Senate chamber supposedly represents where the representatives of the United States of America, a nation of democracy, meet. Yet there's a fascist symbol at the front of the room. You have to ask yourself, what's the fascist symbol doing in that room? And if you've been listening to AVFS on Talk Radio AM 640 for any length of time, I think you now might have your answer. On either side, you see, you'll see the fascist symbols or system often elite encircling center shaft, and they're all tied together. They're bound together by oaths. Oaths, you see, of blood and money and their own secret religion. They are creating a system going back, way back into the mists of time. Civilization to the elite is that which is abnormal. They create abnormal. They're Luciferian, so they lust after abnormal. Nothing normal can come out of Luciferianism, and that's where we're headed. So, what we have is an artificial system, which conned. The word con, Cain, con, king, all comes from the same root of priest. They conned people to use money, and then, of course, they can build their cities. The Masons are, after all, the builders of the world. They also hire people for a standing army. You can't get a bunch of guys together to go and conquer anybody if you don't have some means of keeping them there, some kind of reward. They'll just go home eventually. So money is always the key to civilizations. You show me someone with a lot of money, and I don't mean just millions. I'm talking billions and trillions. And I'll show you a group that also has an army at their disposal. Things becoming a little more clear to you in our system today, or are you still looking at it the way the Illuminati-controlled mass media presents it to you? Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. Coming back with more right after this break. I'm Space. It's a view from space on Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. So, as I was saying before the break, money is always the key to civilizations. The building process, the building of cities, empires, society itself. Freemasons like Albert Pike, a whole bunch of others, always extolling their own virtues of being able to build societies, build cultures. In the Middle Ages, where they built their cathedrals and their big, huge churches, and so on, they'd often build them either next to or on top of old existing ones. So as they're building new ones, they're demolishing the old. The old age, the old system, their old civilization is buried and demolished as they're building up the new one. Can you feel that's what's taking place to your democratic, I'm doing air quotes here, country? We're being ruled by an elite who've used war, money, cities, culture creation, religion, and all those things that come into the culture festivals generally, based on lunar and solar and stellar mythologies, to keep you and I, the people, in check. Keep them happy, keep them dumbed down, stupid, and obedient, and, more than anything else, chasing the carrot. And obedience, after all, is so important. You must obey the law. They rule by the rule of law, and they make up the laws. Whatever law they need, they just put it on the books. The sun god was one of the greatest ones because they used down through the ages, right up to the present, and it's the reincarnated sun god. You see, it's the same old thing rehashed over and over, where the invisible god, the grand architect of the universe, as the Masons call him, chooses a son to his own son to push life into the world, because they claim that without it, we, the profane, are dead. And you know, In a twisted way, they're right, because if you don't know reality, you are dead. Because living as a human being means you're a sentient, aware, fully conscious being. So you'll find in all religions, they have the same terminology. You find it in Christianity, to where Jesus says to the guy, "Let the dead bury their dead." And the ministers don't dwell on that because they can't really fathom it out. How can those that are walking around bury the dead? It's because life doesn't mean you're animated, which is the big con today. Everybody's rushing around in their cars as fast as they can go, and they think they're living because they keep moving. They've got to just keep moving and have noise blaring all the time and music playing or something, you see, because they're scared to think and listen to their conscience. And those who do not think for themselves and listen to their conscience, are classified as dead in all ages. I don't care what age you're in. George Orwell even used that in his 1984 book, where Winston and his girlfriend are caught up in by the thought police before being taken to the Ministry of Love for torture. That's exactly what he says when they're caught. We are the dead. That's a little Masonic giveaway, meaning that if they had been really alive, they would have never been caught like that. And of course, there are many, many degrees of waking up from the dead, and in Freemasonry, they have a substitute. There are a bunch of rungs on a ladder called degrees for the initiates who join. You got to join at the bottom, thinking that one day you're going to ascend to the very top and receive virtue. Virtue, right? They're taught virtue. Virtue comes from the Latin virtus. It's moral excellence of a person. A virtue is a character trait valued as being good. The conceptual opposite of virtue is vice. The Greek word arete has not come into ordinary English. The English word virtue is taken from the Latin word virtus, which is in turn from vir, meaning man in a masculine sense. The word virtus means the male function, conceived in strength or force, so it means the power to accomplish. The unrelated Latin word vis means simply power or violence. Ancient grammarians were actually unable to distinguish those two words. All of those guys who've done everything everybody else has done suddenly of virtue, and they think, okay, I'm a 32nd degree Mason in the Scottish Rite, and I am an Illuminati member. I've got virtue. They've got virtue as they reward contracts to their rich friends from their positions of power and pay each other off and take all the freebies from society, you and I, to live on. The predators, soliciting an army of men whose sole ambition in life is motivated by power, greed, because who else would join a society with secrets, as they call themselves, without knowing what it's all about? All would be initiates who would know what it's to be a Mason, to make sure that everyone's understanding is that if you join us, you get up the ladder in life. You get special little favors. So this is the kind of thing you see in Masonry. They, the people who want all the little freebies, and it doesn't matter to them if their neighbor gets crushed in the process. It doesn't matter to him if he's suffering. They are the profane, remember. The uninitiated, remember. That's the Masonic creed. That's the elite, rich creed. It's a scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Of course, it doesn't stop there, because a circle, is 360 degrees, right? And these are the ones who don't go up very high in the organization, especially first-generation Masons, because there's always a breeding program involved. And the favored ones, of course, trace their lineage all the way back to ancient Sumer. They also use intergenerational breeding, selective breeding even. So don't think that Darwin came up with the idea of selective breeding. The elite rich have always used that. In fact, you'll find it in history. Darwin's grandfather had already written a book about it long before Charles did. And there's a Masonic dogma that he's preaching. The dogma is the right to rule by the elites. A superior intellectual elite person who are not afraid to use aggression and kill. Always for your own sake, though, you understand. That is a great predatory excuse, but somehow they can rationalize that by thinking, we are the uninitiated, the profane, and what do we do now? You can't scare the masses by telling them the truth. And in a way, you know, in the stage we're at today, it's true. The masses don't want to hear it anyway. So what we have now is an endless seam of merchandising, money lending, interest gathering, institutions controlled by the elite rich, going down through the thousands of years and intergenerational families who are taught a different reality than you and I are. We go to the Little Red Schoolhouse. In Britain, it's the Little Red Brick Schoolhouses, as the elite refer to them. And of course, the universities for the elite rich are granite. Made in granite stone. The profane go to little brick houses. Margaret Thatcher, back in the early 80s, the Iron Lady, came under the fire for subsidizing private schooling and the wealthy, using tax money to subsidize the wealthy, and she rationalized it by actually telling the truth. She said, well, this is where your future leaders are coming from. Your future industrial leaders, political leaders, economists, and so on. And they came from these schools, and this is where they met each other. They'll grow up in life knowing each other, and they'll all be in the right positions. Spaceman, back with more. Talk Radio AM 640 right after the break here.
They call me the Spaceman. Talk Radio AM 640, it's a view from space.
Communicate by email only, spaceman at 640toronto.com. One address, the other is space at 640toronto.com, where CC writes, been listening intently to the show, and has some great input here. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome, or capture bonding, he writes. It's a psychological phenomenon described in 1973 in which hostages express empathy or say sympathy and have positive feelings toward their captors, sometimes to the point of actually defending and identifying with the captors. These feelings are generally considered irrational in light of the danger of risk endured by the victims, who essentially mistake a lack of abuse from their captors for an act of kindness. Not the way it is. You're taxed up the yin-yang, and then they come out and say, guess what? Not going to raise taxes this year. And everyone thinks it's a kindness reaction, an act of kindness. No, the abused are trained to love the abuser. Here's where I ask you the question again. The question I asked earlier. Are you one of those people who accept the world as it's being presented to them? In other words, do you accept it that you are the abused and are trained to love your abuser? We can't seem to get this through our heads, and so we make excuses for them. Well, I guess that person had a bad day to say what they said, or, well, the problems that he's got on his plate, I don't blame him. Or, I realize what the company is going through and I know why they're laying me off. You see, this is how we're trained to think. So an intergenerational elite with many whose family can be traced back to ancient Sumer are dealing with the legal system and in real estate and subdivisions of real estate and wills and death duties and holding positions in government today. So this system has gone down through the ages, always taking themselves to another place and destroying that which was left behind, yet leaving it in such a way, leaving it as to leave some low-level controllers there to make sure it remains under their power. That way, when you get a bigger empire taking over, and they can then create bigger and bigger empires, and this is part of the great work, as they call it, they claimed this way back in 4,500 BC, by the way. It's called the Big Idea. Yeah, the Big Idea. The be or not to be, says Shakespeare, for those who know. The be into bees is spelled B-E-E, as in beehive, by the way. Because cities are beehives. Get it? So, on we go down through the ages until we see their target becoming more clear. It's the age of Aquarius now. We've entered it. There are many reasons for Aquarius being Aquarius. First off, even in the New Testament, because Jesus was the sign of Pisces, a fish, fisherman of men, the first man he recruits were fishermen. The philosopher king, Pythagoras, used the fish symbol wherever they went as a sign of Christianity. Before Christianity, they used the cross. And in fact, the cross was used for the inner circle of the elite because there's always an esoteric symbol for the public and the real meaning known only to the initiates. So the cross was always used as a symbol of the sun in the ancient times. But the fish, of course, was for the public, the profane. The age of Aquarius is supposedly of peace and understanding. Well, it's peace, but not the peace as you know it. Peace comes when there's an absence of consciousness and opposition to this agenda. That's what they mean by peace. Peace comes when there's not enough of us to cause trouble, and those that are left don't have a functioning brain to use. That's peace. So this is why the rush toward chips, chipping the brain, implants in humans, and stuff like that, and totally controlling a society that way. The brains of the citizens interfaced with computers. That's where we're headed. That's where we're really going. And the beginning of that is the virtual reality. Strapping something on your head and then and entering a world they built. Forget reality. Reality is too ugly. The virtual world is where you want to be. But it's virtual. That's the problem. The Illuminati want peace. They do. They don't want to give us all this media covering up all of their tracks. This constant propaganda that they have to drizzle out, having to keep us running in circles, they want 100% profit from us. But right now they've got to allow us to entertain ourselves, trying to keep us obedient using sports, bread, and circuses, buying toys, junk from China. The rewards? Little Pavlovian rewards at the end of the month. That's all taken from their ultimate profit, and that upsets them because it's not efficient enough. And the system that's coming into being, their new world order, well, I tell you now, they will have complete and utter efficiency in that new system, where a person will not be born even unless they have a work for you to do. You ever thought about that? That's where we're headed to. Otherwise, you can sell your body parts and get some profit from investments. They're already doing that in China. Just simply look through the history in the past and the horror show down through the ages of people being oppressed. The elite rich are just doing what they do naturally, which is to resist. So you have force. And for every force, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And then, of course, then they control the conflict to bring it to its conclusion. Before you know it, we've just moved us into where they want us to go. Herded like sheep. We are the sheep. They are the good shepherds. Good shepherds stroke the sheep. They know them by name. The sheep come up to them and like them because sheep don't know what they're there for. They think they're there to be happy. They don't know. They don't even ask why does the shepherd spend so much time taking care of us and taking and talking to us. And that's because the sheep don't know what they're there for. They don't know their function is to feed the shepherd, make a profit for them as they take the wool and fleece from them, and then finally the meat on their bones. Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. Return with more right after this break. It's A View from Space on Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm the Spaceman. I'd like to communicate with me. It's spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. Two addresses for you. In my email, reacting to something I was talking about earlier in the show tonight when I was saying the elite rich are taught different ideas than you and I are. And he thinks he's maybe got some proof. W.E. writes, here's the Linkin Park song, Hands Held High. Just a quick verse from it to prove the point. The verse goes this way. My brother had a book he would hold with pride, a little red cover with a broken spine. On the back he hand wrote a quote inside. When the rich wage war, it's the poor who die. Linkin Park, Hands Held High. Thank you, W.E. Now, I was saying we are the sheep. They are the good shepherds, the elites. A bad shepherd sharpens the knives in front of the sheep and slaughters one. The rest of them are terrified then. They all run off when they see him. So the good shepherd wears a suit and tie and says, I promise to help you. But if whatever category you put yourself into, politically, whatever it is, it's their system, and they lead you to where they want you to go, which is the slaughterhouse. But you're not supposed to know that until it actually happens. Remember, you never frighten the profane with your image. Other images, yes, that you want to demonize. Yeah. But you don't frighten the profane with your own image if you are the elite. What they do tell you is what they call in masonry the noble lie. They give you the noble lies all the time. Well, we can't tell the people the real truth. They wouldn't understand. And so when there's too many of them, the elite would get together and plan a war. The real push would be on for now a more expert-run society in the 1500s when the Rosicrucian movement, say, came out in the open in Europe. We're going through that transitional change again now. Rosicrucian movement, by the way, was you can become a god yourself through knowledge, the power of knowledge. You climb the ladder of knowledge, and you eventually become a god, enlightened. That's now going to happen globally. Enlightenment. Luciferian. In the 1700s, it really took off, Rosicrucianism, with all the different writers amongst the interbred elite like Charles Darwin. Darwin's family interbred with one other family for generations, by the way, and that was the Wedgwood family. You know who the Wedgwoods are. They control the famous pottery business, Wedgwoods of England. And his grandfather married a Wedgwood. His father married one. Charles married one. And then when his wife died, he married his mother's sister, another Wedgwood. So they're all Wedgwoods and Darwins all mixed together until they bring some other outside bloodline in. The Galtons, another ancient bloodline family, who believed in population reduction, and so they interbred with the Darwin family. Charles had 10 kids from his first wife. She died in childbirth, as a matter of fact. Two of the children died in insane asylums at a very young age. There was just too much incest. But that's part of the program initiated by the elites through Rosicrucianism, when they had to build a middle class to manage what was coming. The industrial era, needing a middle class of obedient middle class people who would in turn look down their noses at the people they had just left the bottom of the heap. So the middle classes would become very snobbish. They had their own version of masonry, not a noble order like the elite had. They had a version which they didn't know there was anything else except the one they joined. They thought this was, I've made it. I'm finally up the mountain. Now, we are run by so many bureaucracies and expert non-governmental groups that speak for you and I, even though we don't know who they are. This is who's running the world today. A world run by the natural order, they call it. Just the intellectual elites who have proven, as H.G. Wells said, they have proven through history that the wealthier families are the natural elite. They have the right to control the lesser, those who have less. We've been under tremendous mind control for such a long time. The law is under intense control. And the Masons, again, in their own publications, will tell you there's a Masonic push to have a universal education, the same education worldwide, standardizing a bunch of people who never question reality, who accept reality as it's presented to them from birth. And that's what good management means. So, I ask again, are you one of those people who accept the world as it's being presented to you? Look at the people coming out of colleges and universities. They wear the cloak. You see the cloak used to be always black. Why? Black is for Saturn, the color of Saturn. Now they use red ones even. I've noticed they're very popular. I saw a pinkish red one actually. It's even more telling for both sexes. And if you're an architect, you see, or an engineer, you understand technical drawings. You see things in a different way. Differently from other people too, because most people see the solid front of an object. They don't see the different aspects. The front view, the top view, the side view, they can't put a picture in their minds, but the architect does. And of course, when you're wearing a little hod, as the brick masons call it, as they use a hod where they carried the bricks up the ladder, that's what they put them on. And that square represents that, the squaring of the head. You've seen the square flat surface that they put bricks on with a handle underneath of it. That's the same cap they give you when you graduate university. The hod. It's like the squaring of the head. So the round head is not natural, the rolling stone. But when the educational institution puts the graduation hat on you, you become the perfect square head. The ashlars, they call it in masonry. It's not perfected, so nature wasn't good enough. They had to actually perfect you. By themselves, they will perfect nature, and that's what they say in masonry. They're here to perfect that which is less than perfect. Well, guess what that means? Everything, including you. And you look from the top view, of course, on these little square heads and people with the gowns, the dresses, and you'll see that. You'll see the square. And if you were not to see the head, and then you think you see square and the circle within the middle of the squaring of the circle, you see, that's what it means. The squaring of the circle. The circle, your head. The squaring is that hod, that flat cap that you put on your head when you graduate. You see, that's what it means. The squaring of the circle. The squaring of your brain. You're a brick in the wall. And it really means that you've got a quality approval stamp on you by those who run the system. They've given you that flat square hat. They've squared your circle. They've dumbed you down. And now you're stupid enough to work in their system and fork over 40 to 50% of your earnings to them. You know what comes to mind? All in all, we're just another brick in the wall. Pink Floyd even sang it to you. In the old days, they needed slave drivers. Slave drivers take away from your profit. And who watches the slave driver? Today, we're self-maintained slaves through money that we think is natural simply because it exists in our time when we live. And that's how easy it is to control us. We're self-maintained slaves. You know the best slave in the world? Is to have a slave that doesn't think he is a slave. We're trained for one thing, and that's work in a system. Produce, then consume, then die. And whether you're producing or consuming, with all the sales taxes you're still paying, lots of tax money, and of course that goes back into the elite, of course, who use the money for big projects, which we all supposedly call public projects, big, huge projects like building railroads across continents, gas works, water works, roads. And then, when they have it all working, and all the problems ironed out, they sell it to each other for peanuts. And they call that progress. And the elite rich keep doing it over and over, remaining on top. People watch this down through the centuries. And Europe, as these huge projects were built up by the taxpayer, all were working for the common good. The common good. And then, you know, God, one day, they tell you, we can't go on like this. It's too expensive. We need to have more professional people with a motive, a profit motive, to take care of us, an incentive to make things work so they could pick it up for a raffle. And of course, one of the handful of the elite Masonic buddies gets to win it for next to nothing. This is Spaceman. This is Talk Radio AM 640. I got more, and it's next. I'm the Spaceman. Got a couple addresses to communicate with by email only. The only way. Spaceman at 640toronto.com and space at 640toronto.com. Thanks for the one you sent me. CW writes, hey, Space, good to hear you again. Rudolf Steiner spoke of this time now as being the incarnation of Ahriman, Lord of Sin, that is the pervading materialism that has gone on since time immemorial. It's real close now to the opening of all the doors, and mass insanity is what we're seeing and experiencing. Regards from Australia, CW. You're absolutely correct. When you take away the foundations of civilization and have people believe what they want, when they want, how they want, you get insanity. Yes, we are self-maintained slaves. We're trained for one thing, and that's to work in a system to produce and consume. And it's never defined to us exactly where we're going. And that's not by chance. Although it is told you where we're going through movies and novels and even songs, as one of my emailers expressed in one of Linkin Park's songs, because that's called predictive programming. I've done shows on this because they must introduce you to what they're doing in order for you to eventually accept it. And they do this all the time. How many times have you heard this, or said it even yourself? It's true. I saw this in a movie where... Now, you see what I mean by predictive programming. It's true. I saw this movie, and it was in it. Plato described that whole technique. Today we call it a form of indoctrination, predictive programming, which means that through fiction or through anything you're enjoying yourself with, you're being entertained undercover. Entertain. Tain comes from tin, the cover. When you're under the cover, your sense or part of your mind is not working. And if it's not working, you're unaware that you're being programmed like a computer. And they have all sorts of little emotional techniques they use. For instance, you're identifying with a hero. Once you start identifying with the characters, they've got you. Because they can take you anywhere, no matter what that character does. Because as long as you identify with them, they can then take you where they want you to go emotionally. And so when real things start happening in your own life, you say, well, this is kind of familiar to me, and you don't object to it because you're thinking, well, I guess it's the only way I could go in this particular situation. That's why the Illuminati want you to consistently reference movie quotes and characters you see on television. It's brainwashed, and it's most subtle form. Identifying with fictional characters. I guess it's a natural evolution, but then your mind was prepared. Because these guys are the shepherds, you know, and you're the sheep. They've another bunch of slaves and scientists that work for them who do the mind control. And they farm you to an extent. First of all, they know where they want to grow and what they want to grow in this field with the crop they want to grow in. How high and how many, and they first prepare the land. So they cut the brush, they plow it, they harrow it, they do all the necessary groundwork, and then they sow the seed and watch it grow and cultivate. That's how it's done, predictive programming. Watch what they do with your mind in preparation for every event that will happen in your life, in every major event in your life. You'll see in all through the movies, especially in this day and age, in the last century, it was primarily in the 20th century, it was the most thorough job. And through novels and stage plays and music halls, but today it's on everybody's television. or in the movie theater, or on your smartphone. The one-eyed Set is the eye of Lucifer, you know. They tell you the tale, and then they program it right into you for entertainment, and then you see it happening in your life, and you think, well, I guess that's okay. It's sort of natural, isn't it? Because you've seen it before. You're familiar with it. And you don't think anymore beyond that. Where did the idea come from in the first place? It's mankind to you through entertainment. And that's the prime reason for entertainment, by the way. It's not to entertain you at all. It's to program you. It's not enough for you to sit and have music while you chew the grass like good little sheep. It's to program you, and that's why you have big bucks to get into the entertainment business. You've got to have big money. Taylor Swift's father works for Goldman Sachs. He bought her way there. You have to pay big bucks, and you must be qualified in being a very high-degree Mason who knows the score, as they say, because they can't just let any person do this important job of busting cultures. Do it the right way and do it in the right direction. Plato said that thousands of years ago, culture was created from the top and put down to the people. You're taught it comes from the grassroots. But it doesn't, because they can't allow anything to come from the grassroots, because it's not in their plan. They never tell the consequences of the chaos they portray in our entertainment. The bad guys get away with it all the time, so everything comes from the top down to this culture, in this culture creation business. And it's always been that way in civilization. What normally was, we haven't got a clue anymore. It's wiped out. The new normal is the abnormal. This is Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. More next. I'm a Spaceman at the Talk Radio, AM 640. This is a View from Space final segment tonight's show. Yes, the Illuminati and their system, the ancient system of money, chronology, the priesthoods, merchandising, rulerships, of course, all comes from the ruler. They even use that in school, don't they? The ruler. Everything is Masonic terminology. Cain is the same thing, too. He's a priest. He's also a builder. Cain was the first skilled craftsman, the first scientist who made things with metals, also weaponry. And you have a ruler. A Cain is also a ruler. They used to use the canes, the bulrushes, to make rulers in the ancient Middle East. So they rule us and they measure us, and a good ruler weighs us in the balance. As they say, and if you're found wanting, he won't have you around because he wants efficiency. And that's where we're going today, with pure efficiency. What do they say today in the jargon of the politicians? We're looking for efficiencies. That means they're looking to cut somebody's job. I tell you, I speak the truth. Now, when you listen to the elite talking, if you ever mix amongst them, you'll hear them discuss this kind of stuff quite freely. Oh, the people need us. The masses, the peasants, the profane, they need us. It's like saying the mice in the field need the hawk. And so they rationalize this stuff. I saw a pretty good bumper sticker the other day. It said, the world can no longer afford the elite rich. They can never look at themselves honestly, because good psychopaths can't. They run on ego, super ego. That's why they're psychopaths. And they get their way regardless of the consequences to anyone around them, because they have no empathy for others. Oh, they can work together as long as they're working towards a common goal. And they're always sharing the loot. But the time obviously comes when good psychopaths have to turn on each other. And it will eventually come one day as the throne of the world comes into sight. And each one wants his name chiseled in stone, as these guys always do. A statue. And his name chiseled in it. He's the first king of the whole entire planet. And they're all chomping at the bit to get it. So the cooperation is not going to last forever. Population control. Councils were actually even held in Britain under Thomas Malthus, way back as early as 1700s. And they discussed methods of culling off the excess people through disease or creating housing schemes built on swamp lands and unhealthy areas. Stuff that we did to the Aboriginals in North America. Put them in areas where they can't eat very well, and the climate isn't the best, and the swamp-eating mosquitoes or whatever, the plagues break out, and they even had it worked out under Malthus's ideas that the poor houses that they created, where they threw you in when you were broke, or you owed money, or your rent, as most folks did, they rented in Britain, for instance, in Europe, and if you didn't have money, they threw you into a debtor's prison, which costs you. Yeah, that was added to what you owed, and they kicked you into the poorhouse, where you were forced to work until you died. In case you didn't last long, in the poorhouse, most women and children lasted 6 months at the most. And this was called a more efficient way of, well, disposing of the poor unfortunates, as they call them. Actually put you in debtor's prison and charged you money to be there and added it onto your bill that you already owed. Debtor's prison could be coming back, you know. This is the real history, which isn't hidden, if you want to find it. It's not a nice drama, like a docudrama on television or some Netflix series. All that they feed you, because people get most of their history today through romantic novels and stuff like that. There's nothing romantic about the 1700s, the 18th, the 1900s. For most people, it was a horror show. And that horror show has been slightly alleviated at the moment because the biggest change of all is still to come in view. The completion of this great work. This one world government set up where everyone that participates will have a purpose or they won't be there. Selective breeding. You know the one that started 4,500 BC where they see themselves running the world in a scientific way. The natural order of, or the stupid ones don't exist. And if they're too stupid, there'll be no free thought or free opinion. And we see it all today, already, with all the political correctness and all this kind of stuff being forced down your throat. Now they're doing blood sacrifices to convince you to have empathy for their cause. It's outrageous. And no one says anything about it. It's actually being implemented, and unfortunately we ourselves are now our own worst enemy. It's like the Matrix 1 movie. They show you in the Matrix movie, since the elite themselves, the ultimate give you those movies, you're cheering on the guys you think the good guy, you think's the good guy, but you've got it all mixed up. This is themselves they're talking about. The new. And Neo Anderson Andra from the Greek Andros, meaning man. Neo Anderson, the new son of man. The new Messiah. The Superman with all the superpowers. Remember, the sun is the source of Superman's powers. They put it into the Superman series. You know why? Because they're sun worshippers. It's pushing their agenda. When you see, that's where Superman comes from. And the superpowers. That's what gets us into the next age, the elites are telling you. Those who can't do it, that will not be allowed into that next age. And it's no coincidence. It's identical, this Freemasonry of European elites. There's no coincidences. It's identical with dualistic theology, a caste system. There's a Hinduism at the end of the ages. Those who are unworthy to come into the next world must perish. They must be allowed into the next age. And so we see the massive spraying in the skies, the chem clouds. We see all the inoculations being dished out and people still getting sicker and sicker. More diseases killing more people. Adolescent arthritis now. Inoculations, more and more of them are all the propaganda television that we're forced to force-fed through. It's always law. Always law series or hospital series or police dramas or detective stories. DNA swap testing and all that stuff. It's all training you. Getting you ready for this new cold-hearted world to come. It's all propaganda to make you obey the authorities. These specialists. Law, medicine, courts, science, DNA, scientific techniques of finding things out. It's training you to accept this as a natural order because it's nothing like reality. It's virtual reality. It's their made-up world. But it is good entertainment, and it's good programming for the people and towards an end that you don't even think about because you're not taught to think. You see, you were not taught to think. That's what we're educated for. Our education system is really merely an indoctrination system. Here, know this, put it in your head, and if you can't write it down, you don't pass the exam. In other words, you're not ready yet to join us and participate in the great work. This has been A View from Space with Talk Radio AM 640. Coast to Coast is next. I'm Space and I'm out.